being a podcast, whether that be audio or video, you get to get on other platforms that bloggers can't get on. Like a blogger can't get into iTunes. They have to be a podcaster. A blogger can't get on YouTube. They have to be a video producer of some sort. So there are all of these other levels of abilities we have as podcasters.
Welcome to Level Up Your Course, where we pull back the curtain on what it takes to create learning that transforms lives. You will hear stories from business owners like you who share their success and their struggles. This is not where you come to hear passive income myths, friend. This is where you learn the truth about building a profitable learning platform. I am your host, Janelle Allen, and this is today's episode. What's up, family? You are tuned in to the holiday edition of Level Up Your Course. Listen, this episode is from the vault. It was recorded before the podcast name change. So you may hear a reference to the Zen Courses show. Don't be confused. Never fear. This is still Level Up Your Course. This is a great episode that I recorded with Daniel J. Lewis about podcasting, specifically for course creators. So sit back, relax, enjoy the episode, and have an amazing holiday season. What's up, everyone? Thank you for tuning into the Zen Courses show today. My guest is Daniel J. Lewis, an award-winning podcaster, founder of the Audacity to Podcast, and an online course creator. Daniel, welcome to the Zen Courses show.
Thank you, Janelle. I love helping people with their podcasts.
Well, you've helped me with my podcast. I think your site was definitely one resource that I frequently checked when I was launching the show. So can you start by telling us a bit more about yourself and the work that you do?
Well, I'm passionate about helping people share their message with the world. And I believe that podcasting is the best way to do that. Because consider this, at no other point in history has an individual with no network background or no major connections been able to share a message to change a world, sometimes literally from their closets or their basements or their spare bedrooms. But that's the power that we have in podcasting because of its decentralized nature. So that's what really attracted me to podcasting in the beginning when I started discovering podcasts back in 2005 with iTunes 4.9 supporting podcasts. And I fell in love with the niche style of the media where I could find exactly the kind of content I was interested in. And as I started to listen to more and more podcasts and get more connected with it, I realized that this is an industry in which I felt I had something to contribute from my background as a producer and as a public speaker and writing in certain ways. So I wanted to help podcasters. And since then, my business has transitioned to now really helping people to make their podcasts amazing. And that's what I'm passionate about doing.
Nice. Well, I definitely want to come back and talk about that transition because I think it's important and you have a lot to share about it. But first, let's help the listeners get to know you a bit. First and foremost, you're in Ohio, right?
I'm near Cincinnati, technically actually in Kentucky, but I tell people Cincinnati because who wants to actually admit they're from Kentucky?
Got you. Yeah, I saw Cincinnati on your Twitter profile. All right. It's time for the rapid five. I've got five quick questions to help listeners kind of get a feel for you a bit. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Number one, paper books or audiobooks?
Audiobooks for sure. I'm a podcast listener. What do you expect?
Number two, how do you feel about pigeons?
They poops on people sometimes. And that's an exact quote from something. If anyone knows what I'm quoting, you have to comment on Janelle's show notes and say what I'm quoting from.
Hey, there it is. You've been warned. Number three, what is your favorite condiment?
Sour cream. I think that's it.
Okay. Okay. Four, if you could have one superpower, but no one knew about it, what would it be?
Invisibility. I'd love to play pranks on people with doing things as I'm invisible.
Okay, I'm learning a little bit about you, Daniel. Just a little. And number five, what is the hardest lesson you have learned as an entrepreneur so far?
As an entrepreneur, it's making decisions to cut out things that I enjoy doing or that I'm good at doing so that I can focus on doing the things that are more important for me to do.
Very good. Okay, cool. So you started by telling us about, you know, how you got interested in podcasting. You started in 2005, realized how powerful the niche was. But how did you come to be the Audacity to Podcast guy? When was that point when you said, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on helping people do?
Well, I launched my first podcast in 2007. That was my clean comedy podcast, The Ramen Noodle. And by about 2010, I was already listening to other podcasts about podcasting. And I felt like the market was saturated with the two other podcasts about podcasting I was listening to at that time. Now there are, I don't know how many there are, a whole bunch. Yeah. But I felt like there was a void in the space. There was a perspective that wasn't being shared. There was a background influence that wasn't being shared. A drive for high-end professionalism, not the NPR style, but individual professionalism in podcasting. And because of my background and experience, I felt like I just had something to say and add to the space. So in 2010, I launched The Audacity to Podcast. And it's always been primarily a podcast about podcasting, giving you the guts and teaching you the tools. And I also named it cleverly because at that time, I felt like the other podcasts about podcasting weren't talking specifically about Audacity. They would say, oh, here's how you do this in Audition, or here's how you do this in this other program. And I'm sure you can probably do it in Audacity too. So I wanted to share some Audacity specific tips, but I was really about that courage, the guts to podcast. So I named my podcast cleverly by using the words Audacity and podcast in the title, so that it ranks really well in search terms for that kind of stuff. And back then, I did cover a lot of information about Audacity. But since then, it's really morphed into all things podcasting, guts, and tools. So it's not simply about the technology. But even the last several episodes I've done at this point are more philosophical, thinking about the kinds of people to have in your circles, thinking about certain things with your podcast and inspiring you to podcast better, as well as here and there covering specific technologies and sharing stuff. So when I launched the podcast in 2010, it was simply because I had something to say. I had no plans to make it into a business.
Yeah.
But I was at my job at that time, which was at one point a dream job due to all kinds of stuff that happened, personal things, professional things, a failed relationship here that was with a coworker. That job became torment. The dream job was. And so I knew that I had to leave that job. And my wife, well, at that time, she was my fiance, but she encouraged me to set a challenge to be fully self-employed 1 month later, or not 1 month, 1 year later.
I was going to say, that's pretty intense.
And I was thinking at that time, the position I fulfilled in that company was speaker for the company as well as a web designer. So I was thinking, well, podcasters need websites. And I'm good at web design. I think I'll be a freelance web designer and that will be my business. I wasn't sure how I would make that transition from full-time employed to full-time self-employed. And the podcast then became the missing piece. Because when I launched the podcast, like I said, I had no visions of a business around that podcast at that point. But I was amazed at the response to the podcast. Yes, it was featured in different areas, but what really impressed me was the responses from my audience. What they were saying they needed, the questions they had, the things they wanted someone to do for them. And so I realized this is how I can build my business of, at that time, I was thinking web design because I was thinking podcasters need great websites. And so my podcast about podcasting will promote my business of web design. The business no longer does design at all. I do my own design, but I don't do design for other people. I refer that out to others. But the podcast is not the business itself. But the podcast created the space for the business. The podcast markets the business. And my business could not exist today if not for the podcast. So in many ways, it's both direct and directly connected to the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I found similar results when launching the Zen Courses show. Like you, I was drawn to it based on my own experience as a radio DJ and things of that nature. And I found that it is a great marketing channel for drawing people to you. So definitely, but I'm curious, you know, now that we're talking about your podcasting experience, how do you think a podcast can benefit course creators?
Well, sharing your podcast or sharing your message in a podcast lets people hear, for one thing, hear your passion about the topic, but also, and this is what makes podcasting so much better than other forms of creating content on the other internet, like written form. In a podcast, they can hear what you really feel about something, and they can hear how well you are at communicating information and conveying ideas.
Yeah.
Because you can edit a written sentence to absolute perfection, but you can't do that with the spoken word and it not be noticeable. So when you use a podcast to share your message, people will start to know, like, and trust you, so that when you have something to offer, to sell, they'll know that, wow, the free content you put out in your podcast is so good that I'm sure the paid content is even better. And so your podcast can promote that paid content, the courses that you create. Your podcast can cover things on a surface level, and then you can say, well, in my course, I get into this in much more detail. Like, for example, I have a course, I know we'll probably talk about this, SEO for Podcasters, Teaching Search Engine Optimization. And I did an episode about the basics of podcast SEO. And I talked just about what matters to different podcast apps when you're thinking about what's searchable, like is your description, your title, your episodes, that kind of stuff, what's actually searchable in these different apps. So I did an episode where I talked about what matters to those apps. But that episode then promotes the full course where I say, if you want to learn a whole lot more about how to change all of these things and how to optimize all of your content and leverage the power of search engine optimization to make your podcast better, then I have a course for that. So I'm not making my podcast episode a solid commercial or an infomercial. It's information and education first in every episode of the podcast. And when it's relevant and in appropriate context, it can promote the paid courses or other products I offer.
Gotcha. And how does that perform for you? Because I know I've spoken with different people and they've had different results. But in your experience, how has that performed?
It's performed really well. In 2015, I launched a new direction for my business, which is Podcaster Society. And it's a membership community that gets access to all the courses and tutorials I create included with it, as well as many other things. And when I launched that and I'd been building up to it, I told people I was creating this thing. You know, I did this kind of launch formula sort of thing. I built up enthusiasm for it. And a bunch of people joined on day one when I launched it. And they're still members to this day.
Yeah.
And several of them have said, I almost didn't care what it would be that you were launching. I knew I would buy it because I knew the quality of the stuff that you put out. And that speaks huge volumes. I think that's even better metric than the actual dollar number to realize these are faithful people who want the kind of stuff I put out. So when I have these episodes where I promote certain things, whether it be my own products and services or affiliates, I always see an increase in sales for those things. And I fully believe this because the way I promote those things, I'm not pushing it. I'm not doing like an ad spot. I'm giving relevant information and relevant recommendations, and sometimes totally brutally honest about certain things. And I'll say, don't use this company. I don't like them for this, this, and this. And people still end up buying it through my affiliate links and such. But that kind of thing, presenting education first, value first, then returns value to my business. And that's how the business exists.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so I definitely want to come back and talk about some of those points, but we are here to talk about your course, SEO for Podcasters. Who is it for and what problem does it solve?
I hate to be that person to say it's for all podcasters, but it really is for all podcasters. And that's why I kind of wish I named it and positioned it a little bit differently, but I'm working on remaking the course, so I'll do that. But search engine optimization, many people think that's really about making your podcast appear in search results. And certainly that is part of it. But the core idea of search engine optimization, and especially the SEO for Podcasters course, is making great content, improving your content, making that content accessible so that the right people find it at the right time. And it's exactly what they're looking for. That's what search engine optimization is really about, optimizing for humans who use search engines. So it's for podcasters who want to make their content better and want to make their content stand out and be findable. And the reason I made it is because I know there are plenty of SEO courses out there, all kinds of things. So there's a whole industry of SEO experts, some of them teaching some rather unethical ideas, which often end up breaking later on. But what I wanted to do is bring this down, or not down, but bring this over to the podcaster level. How does this matter for podcasters? Because we're communicating with our voices, not so much in writing. So SEO is different. And being a podcast, whether that be audio or video, you get to get on other platforms that bloggers can't get on. Like a blogger can't get into iTunes. They have to be a podcaster. A blogger can't get on YouTube. They have to be a video producer of some sort. So there are all of these other levels of abilities we have as podcasters. So I wanted to make a course that thoroughly explained what's unique about SEO for podcasting, as well as the other things podcasters need to consider, like website SEO and other stuff like that, all ethical kind of stuff. So it's not something where I say, oh, well, this is broken. Now you can no longer do this little hack. It's really about making amazing content, because that's what makes the difference.
Okay. So you've given an overview of what SEO is, which was one of my questions. So thank you for anyone who doesn't know. But there are a lot of people who start a podcast on the fly, or they think that it's going to be, you know, this undertaking that they can get started really quickly. And they don't think about SEO. They don't think about these types of things. Why are these things important? What's the why behind all of this?
You want the right people to find your podcast. And that's something that many times podcasters don't recognize when they're telling people who aren't familiar with podcasts. They're telling them about their own podcast. I host a podcast about podcasting. So I met a lady at a bank once, and she was asking what I did. And I told her I podcast, and I asked her if she knew what a podcast was. And instead of showing her my own podcast, which is about podcasting, she's not interested in podcasting.
Right.
She might be interested in something else. So I asked her about what her favorite TV show was. And then I showed her in the podcast app all of the different podcasts about that TV show. Now, if those podcasts didn't have good SEO principles put into place, then they wouldn't show up when I wanted to show her, hey, look, here are all of the podcasts about your favorite TV show. So for example, one of the podcasts on my own podcast network, I don't personally host this podcast, but it's on my network, is Welcome to Level 7. Very few people, by simply hearing that name, would know what that podcast is about. But a great SEO technique is to add to the title some kind of tagline. So it's now Welcome to Level 7, unofficial Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan podcast. It might be something a little bit different from that. But now, if someone searches for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they find that podcast. So it helps people to find the kind of podcast they're looking for, so they don't have to know the exact name. No one's going to think to search podcast apps for Welcome to Level 7 unless they know exactly that's the podcast they want. They'll search for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Marvel Cinematic Universe, stuff like that. So using good SEO techniques gets that podcast in front of the right audience through podcast apps as well as Google search results.
Okay. So you just gave a great example, and I'm going to piggyback on that. What are a couple of things that, let's say I'm a new course creator and I have a course on cooking. What are a couple of things that I should do SEO-wise to help my podcast get found?
You have to think about what is it that people might enter into a search engine and expect to find your content. So Welcome to Level 7, for example, is not something people would search. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast or Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. You have to know your industry to know what are these terms that people search for.
Yep.
And you don't have to try and rank for one single term or one single word, especially like entrepreneur. No one is going to rank well for that single keyword. But there are more specific searches that people do these days. And that's what we call long tail keywords. It's the kind of things people enter a phrase or a question into a search engine and expect to find relevant content. So think about what those search terms are that people use, those keywords, and a keyword could actually be a key phrase, and try to incorporate those into your podcast, either in the title of your overall show, in your description, in certain episode titles and such. And many times that can even inspire you to create certain content when you realize people are using search engines to commonly search for this particular thing. Why not make an episode dedicated to that exact thing? And that episode will often be very successful.
Gotcha. Now, I have to ask this because I know my audience wants to know before you move on. Are there any tools that are helpful in finding and identifying those keywords?
The first thing is Google. Like, start typing in some of the words into Google as a search, and Google will often suggest things below that. So you can sometimes see from there. There are other tools like Longtail Pro or Google Ad Keyword Planner, something like that. And Longtail Pro is a paid software program. Google Ad Keyword Planner, whatever it's called, is a free thing.
Yeah.
But it is made for people who want to advertise in search results. However, it can still give you the numbers that you need to see to know, oh, this is a very commonly searched term, or here are other things that people often search for, and that can inspire content. I used that myself when I created an episode several years ago, and that episode is one of my most popular episodes because it fits the exact kind of thing people are searching for.
Gotcha. All right, so let's segue and talk about your course development process. What does it look like? Where do you start when you create an online course?
I think about what is the end result I want people to have, what is the problem I want to solve, and what are all of the ways I need to go about solving that problem. Like with the SEO for Podcasters course, that was a huge topic. So I knew there are so many pieces to this. What I want people to take from this is how to make their podcast content better and how to make it stand out in the search engines. And then breaking that down into smaller parts and smaller parts. And what I really like for working on an outline of a course is Workflowy. It's an online website. There's a free plan as well as paid plans. And Workflowy is all about lists. And you can have lists inside of lists inside of lists inside of lists. So it was really easy to, for example, make the SEO for Podcasters course. And then I have my next level inside of that are the separate modules. And then inside of each of those modules are separate lessons. Inside of each lesson are the separate specific topics. Inside of each topic are the lists of all of the information and illustrations and such. And so I can really drill down inside of the list without my indentation becoming longer than the content if you're doing this in a word processor of some sort. And what also helped with that when I recorded that course is that I had my iPad with the Workflowy app on it. And when I was ready to record the video for a particular lesson, I could tap into that one lesson and see only those points. So I'm not having to look and double check my position among hundreds of points. I was drilled down to those specific 4 points that I needed for that particular lesson. And that made it really easy to do. And for me, as creating the course, then I could jump around very easily as I'm working in one section. Maybe I'm inspired and I want to move something to another section or add to another section. So I could jump around, I could drill in and focus on only relevant areas with Workflowy.
Gotcha. Now, you mentioned that when you start, you focus on that result that you want your students to have. So with SEO for Podcasters, what was that one goal that you wanted students to achieve after taking the course?
It's a two-sided thing. I wanted them to make better content and make their content more findable.
Perfect. Now, tell me about the activity. So what does the course look like, you know, to make that result happen? What types of activities are you including?
Yeah, currently, the course is 10 hours long, and each module is a single video. And I'm going to redo the course. But the way that I approach it is it's all educational. And there are moments where you're looking at me on the screen as I'm teaching some principle, illustrating something. And then there are moments where I switch over to sharing my screen so you can see what I'm doing as I'm pointing out, here's where you go to make this change, this change, this change. And there are certain spots where I say, here's what you need to think about. Here's what you need to do to figure out and move along then with this, like finding your ideal keywords or doing some research on things, making some changes in your podcast, and then moving forward with that.
Was this your first course by any chance?
The first course I created to sell. Yes, I'd done other courses, mostly live recorded before or at live events on WordPress, on Audacity, on other podcasting ideas and principles. But that was the first one I sold.
Gotcha. I've heard you say a couple times, I'm going to redo some things. So knowing what you do now, what would you have done differently when you were starting out?
For one thing, I would have recorded in smaller portions instead of trying to record an entire module and releasing it as a single recording, like an hour-long recording. I'd record in smaller lessons. For me, when I was recording it, though, it was at a time that my office was at home and my wife had a part-time job at that time. So I would try and group all of this stuff together to record while she was away. That way I wouldn't have to worry about noise inside of the house.
Yeah.
But today what I would do is I record in those smaller sections or focus on making smaller individualized lessons. So it would be easier for me to record and edit, as well as easier for the students to digest because they could go through 5 minutes at a time or something like that. The other thing that I would do differently is, and I'll be doing this for my next courses, is use a teleprompter. Not necessarily to read a script, because that really depends on how good you are at reading versus how good you are at writing. And do you write like you speak? Do you speak like you write? But what you could use a teleprompter for is to have your notes visible to you, your basic outline in front of the camera. So the camera is shooting through it. And so you can be looking at the camera the entire time and not have to look down at notes.
Yeah.
That's something I didn't really like when I recorded the SEO for Podcasters. I mentioned that I was using my iPad. And so I would look down at the notes and I did not like that experience. There are different ways I could do that differently today, such as maybe standing behind a counter and having the iPad facing me so I wouldn't have to look down so far. But with the way I originally recorded it, where I was sitting down in a chair, for me to look down at the iPad meant you're seeing the top of my head.
Yeah.
And that I knew wouldn't make as good of an experience. So that meant a lot of editing points, which also meant for me to try and reduce the editing points, I would have to do retakes of a lot of stuff because I knew I don't want an edit point in the middle of this. So I'm just going to redo the entire thing, which ended up wasting a lot of time for me. So having a teleprompter, even with my simple outline in front of me, would allow me to look directly into the camera and then not have to look down or try and remember what's my next point.
Gotcha. All right, Daniel, we are down to the final three questions. First, what is next for you? Anything exciting coming up?
Yeah, I've got two things coming up. One is the Zoom H6 for Podcasters course. This is in production as we speak. And Zoom H6 is a little portable recorder that many podcasters use, and it is incredible with the abilities that it has, and it's at a great price, and many podcasters can use it instead of a mixer, compressor, and additional recorder. So this can replace many different things, and it can even do mix minus and certain technical stuff like that podcasters are really interested in. So that course will be available soon, first to Podcaster Society members, and then I'll sell it as a standalone. And the other thing I'm really excited about is reopening Podcasters Society because I've been making some major renovations to that membership site for podcasters. And I'm really looking forward to the new experience for members and getting them excited to come in and join other podcasters looking to improve their shows.
Okay, nice. Where can people find out more about you and your work?
Everything I do related to helping podcasters, the products I sell, the courses, the services and such, are all available on my website for the podcast at theaudacitytopodcast.com. And I'm on Twitter and other social networks as the Daniel J. Lewis.
Gotcha. We'll be sure to get those links in the show notes. Last question, Daniel. What's your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
I do this because I love helping people share a message to change the world. I love changing the world. I worked for a ministry previously, and I'm a born-again Christian. I worked in a Christian ministry. And what's amazing to me today in my business is to see that I have a greater impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ through my business of podcasting than I had when I was a speaker for a Christian ministry. And that's motivating. So I want to help other people make the world a better place through their message. And I love being able to have a day full of doing stuff I'm passionate about so that when I get back home to my wife and newborn son, that I'm not drained, but I'm excited. And I have my family to provide for, And thanks to God's blessings, we're being provided for. And so we can enjoy not a luxurious life, but we can enjoy time together without all of these stresses of this job I hate and soul-sucking other things here and there. That's why I do this. For the people to change the world and for me to be able to provide for my family.
Gotcha. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for being here. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Janelle.
All right, my friends, that is my time. Remember, before you can level up your course, you must first level up your mind. As always, thank you for hanging out with me for another great episode. I do not take it for granted. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been Level Up Your Course. Peace.